James, and we are into our second chapter. But back in May, we did what we called Heart Friends. And we've got some new people here that have joined us. They don't know what Heart Friends is all about. But our class now is, we're up to about 75 members in our class. And we've got a large group, and we've got just such a neat group. I mean, it's just all different, multifaceted, and many different women, different ages. And when I first started Oasis, Carolyn was helping me. We said, we need just some ways for us to connect as women, because I'm a lecturer when I teach. So there's not any time for us to interact on Sunday mornings, because our time is so short. And so anyway, we said, well, let's do some fun things. So we planned some fun things. And what happened was nobody showed up, because everybody's so busy. And so we said, well, let's do something really just very voluntary. And so we came up with the concept of what we're calling Heart Friends. And when I was in Nashville last year, I got introduced to this little book, Heart Friends book, and how to put together small groups. And so that's kind of what I'm basing it on. And so we're going to talk about that this morning in our time together. And then I'm going to be asking you to tell me if you want to participate, because we started a group. We said we're going to do them for 3 months, a period of 3 months. And I know our group, it was kind of hard in the summer because we're busy in the summer. So our group only got to meet 2 times, but that was so cool because I got to meet and interact and really get to know with some women. Now, is anybody in here want to just share a little testimony about their Heart Friend group? All right, good.
Because they have appointed me,
they appointed you.
Our group was Winnie Johnson. She sits here all dressed up every Sunday. She is just amazing. She's
very colorful.
Very. Very interesting. She could write a book.
Sure.
And then Sandra didn't get to come. And these two.
Shirley and Joyce.
And we had a lot.
Yeah.
We met Primus in the back room, and we started from, you know, our childhood, our grandparents, and just reminiscing.
Telling your stories.
And telling our stories. And we still haven't finished. But it's been just amazing how you think you know somebody because they're here in a group like this,
yeah.
But you don't know the real inspiration that everybody,
that's right.
You know, if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit moves and you've been a Christian a long time, mm-hmm. It's just so much inspiration you can get from each other, and it's been a real blessing, and we don't want to quit. And you've already given Winnie, I guess she might be the oldest one in our group, I'll say that since you've not given me. And I'm next. You gave her permission. We could meet a little longer.
Yeah, I did. You don't have to stop. But the purpose is to get to know one another.
But
and really
you,
to intersect our lives.
Anything like that. It's something that just is a bond.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get encouragement. And you could call that friend about anything, because you've opened up.
Yeah.
And it's really a blessing. So try it.
Oh, good. Okay. Another testimony. Anybody else want to? Don't sit behind standing up and giving testimony.
See, you're still to talk. We had a wonderful group. Sandra and I and Rachel, and she's almost always here. She's part of the board. And Debbie Park. She's
teaching.
She's teaching now. But we haven't stopped yet. We have one on the books for November. So
I was telling them to come on in with their food. They're like, should we go? Go home.
But it like Carolyn said, it's really nice. I've known Sandra for years and years and years, but I didn't really know Sandra.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and the same with Rachel. I knew who her parents were.
Right.
And, you know, that's the way it was. And it has been. It truly has been a blessing, and it does build a deeper friendship, and you feel like you have a prayer partner.
That's right.
And you have someone that can lift you up. And Sandra, I want to thank her because she's been so good to help me when I missed Sunday school the month that I was out working.
Yeah.
That she passed on everything to me so I didn't miss out.
She's even put me on the internet. Mrs. Sutton, you can get me on the internet. Hey, we don't care. Come on in. We're going to have a picture of your food. Anybody else? Okay, Phyllis.
My group is Angela, Lori, Carol. I can't ever pronounce her last
name.
I just know it's Carol Carey. And Trisha Weber and myself. Mm-hmm. It took forever to get our first meeting.
I know.
But once we got our first meeting, we have kept in touch. And I didn't know Angela at all. Didn't even know who she was. And she's become a good friend.
I know. Laura and now you love her, don't you?
Laura and I had lived on the same street, but we didn't know each other.
No.
So I have enjoyed that.
I know. Blessings.
And we have come to find out we all have something in common. It may not be the same thing with each one of us, but we've all had something in common that we can share with the other.
Isn't that cool?
And it has been really wonderful.
That's
and
good.
We're starting a small family.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, we like our group, too.
I know. Well, if you want to stay with your same group for a little longer, just put that on your sheets. Put keeping with same group, because that's fine. But this morning, that's what I want us to stop. Now, I remember when I taught this lesson back in May, that Sunday, I think I only had 10 women in Sunday school. It was just one of those days when it was a real low attendance. And so, I'm going to teach that lesson again today on heart friends. And if you're like me, you know, you're kind of mental, you won't even realize you heard it before because, you know, I watch movies and I think, I watched that movie, but it's like watching a new movie because I'm old now and very forgetful. So that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to have a Bible study on heart friends. And then at the end, I want you to really consider being a heart friend. So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of Christian fellowship. And especially, Father, with women. Women need women. We need each other. That's how you've created us. We need to connect. We need to talk. We need to encourage each other. We need to be encouraging our younger women. Father, there's just so many needs all around in our lives. And it's so much easier when we walk through life with one of like mind and we share our burdens. One with another, and we care for each other. And that's what you want your body to do. And I pray for our Sunday school class. I pray for Oasis, God, that you'll knit our hearts together in love and in fellowship. And I'm well aware that Satan does not want a strong group knitting their heart together, learning God's word together, caring for one another, and loving each other. But Father, we pray your protection over us, and I pray that as we endeavor to do that very thing, that you'll bless us as we meet and that you'll help us, Father, to share our lives. And God, I thank you for every woman in this group. They're so precious and so unique. God, you've given me such love for these women. I just love this class. I thank you for what you're doing. And Father, I thank you for the women that you're bringing to our class. Father, may we honor you. May we bring glory to your kingdom. May we be maidens in your harvest. May we be busy about kingdom business, taking advantage of every opportunity. And so, Father, bless us now as we study this morning and just speak to our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's get started. Have any of y'all heard of Chuck Swindoll? You know, I love Chuck Swindoll. For one thing, he's really, really funny. And I think I've bought every book he's written because I really like to read him. He's an easy read. But he says there are four crucial truths pertaining to friendship. And let's start off with that because we're talking about friendship this morning, being heart friends. Number one, he says this, friends are essential and they're not optional. Friends are essential and they're not optional. I like that statement. Number two, he says, friends must be cultivated. They're not automatic. You know, you've heard the little saying, to have a friend, you have to be a friend. Friends must be cultivated. They are not automatic. Here's the third thing he says. Friends impact our lives. They're not neutral. They do influence you. You know, the Bible says if you hang around foolish people, you will become what? Foolish. They do impact your lives. This is a hard thing to teach teenagers. But it's true. It's so true. And then the fourth thing there is he says that friends come in three classifications. Now, here's what he says. He says, in our lives, we'll have some that are just acquaintances. Just acquaintances. Now, you think about your life. Your life is full of these types of people. It's just people that you meet, people that you briefly know. Sometimes I'll see a face, but I can't remember a name. They're just an acquaintance. Then there are casual friends. And there are people that we see on a weekly basis, a monthly basis. We see them occasionally. They're just casual friends. And then there are close friends. And they are those that we invest some time in. People that we want to get to know. We know the details about their lives. We know their children and their grandchildren. We know where they work. We know where they live. We know the details of their life. Now, you may think we're close, but you're never going to be able to name all my grandchildren, so just forget it. Now, how many of you, and that's my question this morning, would like to grow deeper in your relationships with each other in Oasis? Because we all want friendships in our lives. And so this is on your handout. Life is all about people, and it's all about relationships. And really, that's what life is about. And we have this little saying in our house. We say, don't cry over things, cry over people. Because life is about people. And I think we would all agree that we really want deeper friendships and deeper relationships. And I think in particular, this is a big need with women in the body of Christ, especially. And it's actually a biblical mandate. For the older women to be investing their lives in the younger women and those around us. Now, this is on your handout. Isolation is one of the greatest tools that Satan uses. Is that not true? Now, I want to give a little brief testimony about that. Because I'm from a dysfunctional background, and for certain other women, I know in my life, I've always been busy in ministry in our church. It just seems like I always have. And then when Sunday was 13, I got real involved in the youth ministry. Well, I was always in the youth ministry. I went on all the youth trips. I was over here on Wednesday nights. I was just... But you know what happened to me is I wasn't having that really good interaction with my own age group. And one day I just woke up and I realized I'm really a lonely person. And my children are going to grow up and move on, and I'm just sitting back here, you know. I need to be about investing my life in other people and building those kinds of friendships. And I really started praying about that. I said, God, help me to do that. And God has done that. I mean, I just love how God has opened doors for me to do that. But I think it's a need that women really have. And I think Satan loves to get us alone, away from the body. Now, because we're a body. And you fit somewhere in the body of Christ. You may be a toe. You may be a thumb. You may be a knee. You may be a mouth. But if Satan can get that toe and put it over there by itself in a room, that toe's not very effective because it's not hooked in to the body. The toe's meant to be attached to the foot, and the foot is meant to be attached to the leg, and the leg to the body. And that way, when we're all connected, we have each other. Now, here's a little saying, and I liked it. The banana pulled away from the bunch is the one that always gets peeled. Isn't that funny? I think there's a lot of spiritual truth in that. Now, here's something else Chuck Swindoll said. And I'm going to read it to you. He says, the neighborhood bar is probably the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants his church to have. It's an imitation dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality, but it's permissive, accepting, and it's an inclusive fellowship. He goes on to say, the bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put in the human heart the desire to know and be known. the desire to love and be loved. And so many sink the counterfeit at the price of a few beers. You remember the TV show Cheers? Remember the song, the theme song? It's a place where you can go, where everybody knows your name, and the troubles are all the same. God created us to be connected, to have fellowship. Because in the church, we're a body. We need each other. Now, I need you. I need what you have. And you need me. You need what I have. I like James Dobson. And this is what he says. Listen to this. The breakdown in families is because there is a loss of connection woman to woman. Do you think that could be true? It could be. Listen to this little ditty. In the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't fast, Grandma used to rock and knit, crochet, tat, and babysit. Grandma now is at the gym, exercising to keep slim. Now she's golfing with the bunch, taking clients out to lunch, going north to ski and curl, and all her days are in a whirl. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that Grandma's off her rocker. I love that. All right, let's turn to Ephesians 3:17. Let me show you a scripture there. That was a cute one. Go to Ephesians 3:17, and we're going to start there. We're going to go several places just to look at scriptures. And I've got to hurry because I know I always go over, and I apologize for that. If any of you in the choir, you do not offend me at all by leaving. All right, let's look at 3:17 and see what it says. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, am I on the right one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. I don't know if that's the one I wanted. You are rooted and grounded. Yeah, that's it. We are rooted and grounded together in Him. Now, that rooted, that word rooted there, it means to be strengthened. It means to be firmly fixed. It means to be constant. Strengthened, firmly fixed, constant. And the word grounded there means to be laid down as a foundation stone. So you and I now, we're rooted together and we're grounded together in Christ. And yet we're losing our togetherness. We need to be connecting face to face, but that's rare. That's rare. So in becoming heart friends with each other, it's going to be an intentional thing, where we're going to be intentional. Why do we want to do it? Because God has created us for community. We really need each other. Now, go to 1 John 1:7. Now, 1 John is right toward the end of your Bible, right before Revelation. And let me read that verse to you. 1 John 1:7. It says there, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another. Now, the word fellowship there is the word koinonia in the Greek. And it means to share in common. It means to be intimate. And the definition implies the idea of I'm imparting my very life in the life of another person. It's not being independent, and it's not being codependent, it's being interdependent. Needing each other. Mutually sharing. Giving and receiving. Making healthy investments in one another. According to Ephesians 4:25, that says that we're members one of another. Members one of another. Now, God gives members of His body directives. And this is what it says in Ephesians 4:32. Let me just read it to you. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Let's look at the one another's in the New Testament. Look with me at James 5:6. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. Look at Galatians 5:13b. Through love, serve one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love or sisterly love. Give preference to one another in love. Romans 15:7. Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Romans 15:4. Admonish one another. 1 Peter 1:22b. Fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Now turn to Romans 14, and let's look at some verses there. Go back to Romans 14. And I want you to go to verse 7. We're going to look at 7 and 8. It says, for one of us lives for himself, for not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, because we're in Christ, our lives are intertwined. We're all part of the body and the family of Christ. And so, by participating in Heart Friends, what we want to do is establish a close connection and give a safe place, a small group where we can share our lives and care for one another. There are two examples in nature that I want to share about. One is the Colorado aspen tree. And in aspen, these aspen trees do not grow alone, but they grow in clusters or groves. And they're all interconnected by the roots. Another interesting tree is the California redwood. And it grows as high as 300 feet. But did you realize it's got very shallow root system? So what they do, because it's so dry there, they have such a shallow root system to get all of the moisture out of the soil. And so what happens is they're real close together, and all of their roots intertwine with each other, and that gives them stability and strength. And God has designed us to be closely connected so that while we're weathering the storms of life together, we're growing taller at the same time, but underneath there's this support that we have with each other. I think about my earthly family. I have one brother and three sisters. And my three sisters and I are real close. And we weather a lot of storms together. And when we get together, we're our own support group. And we share. And we're a safe place where we can come and give each other support and share our joys and encourage each other. Establishing meaningful friendships will enrich your life. I'm just learning how to do this, and I'm enjoying it so much. I think about Carolyn one time at one of our woman-to-woman mentoring coffees, and we were going around sharing what the mentoring had been. And Carolyn was involved in every one of our mentoring times we offered it. She got a different woman every time. And she just said, and it just stuck with me, Carolyn, you just said, I'm just so excited about getting a new mentee because every time it's like getting a gift. And you just unwrap that gift, and it's such a beautiful thing in your life. And that's how friends are. They're gifts. And so we have this gift of togetherness. You know what? We live in the same town. You know what? We go to the same church. You know what? We're in the same Sunday school class. Let's build relationships. Listen to Ephesians 2:15. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with his saints and the members of the household of God. Now, that word fellow there, we are fellow citizens. I want to talk about that word for a minute. It's also used in Scripture. We're also fellow soldiers. We're fellow saints. And we're fellow workers. Four things that we're fellow. And the word fellow is the word soon in the Greek. It means together with. Together with. It implies a near and close connection. It implies an intimate relationship. Now, think with me. Are we closely connected? Are we together with the body of Christ? Are we intimate with each other? It's used 127 times in the scripture, telling us how to be together with, closely connected, and intimately connected. Now, let's compare it with another Greek word, the word meta. And that word means amid or among. Now, as we think of Oasis Sunday School class, do you think we could use the word soon to describe us in the Greek, or the word meta? Would we have to say that the women in our Sunday School class are just amid, among, or are we soon, closely and intimately connected? I love teaching God's Word. I love it. But I also want to see our Sunday School class powerful. You know what the Bible says? They will know you by your what?
Love.
Love. You will be known by your love. You know what? If we would start connecting and loving and ministering and caring and reaching out in our Sunday school, just in our Sunday school class, the word would get out. People would be wanting to join this Sunday school class because that's what everybody is looking after, looking for. We don't want to just be amid or among. We want to be closely connected. Now, Scripture says we are fellow. I like to say we're fellowettes, fellows. I believe there's a greater need now than ever before for women to be connected. Heart to heart, times are difficult, aren't they? And it's so rich walking through life with others who have the same goal as you do, to grow in Christ, to grow in godliness, to grow in obedience, to grow in love, to grow in ministry. We need it more than we've ever needed it before. Now, let's talk about the advantages of having heart friends. Listen to Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. I'm going to read it to you for sake of time. This gives us the value of a friend. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And also, if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who is alone when he falls, for no one is there to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, because even a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now think of a flock of geese. How do they fly? They fly in a V formation. And the reason they do that is because as each one flaps his wing, the one behind him enjoys the uplift that sends. And you know, the lead goose, he gets the tiredest. But if for some reason he falls to the ground, do you know what happens? This is so good. I love nature. At least two or three geese will go with him. And they will stay with him until he recovers. And then they'll join the next group of geese that fly by. And a lot of times the lead goose will get in the back and another goose will come to the front. It's so cool. That's kind of how we are. We're like those geese. Together we have an advantage. Together when we all meet and we get soon together, intimate together, and we use our gifts together, the effect is dynamic. Listen to Proverbs 11:4. It says, without guidance, people fall. But with counselors, many counselors, there's deliverance. Here's Proverbs 13:14. A wise man's instruction is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. Now, Satan loves to keep us in bondage. One of the greatest advantages of heart friends, I think, is found in the book of James. We hadn't gotten there yet, but this is James 5:16. We're going to get there. And it says that we are to confess our sins one to another. You know what? Heart friends gives you a safe place just to say, you know, this is something in my life that I wish you'd help me pray about. You know, I need help in this area. I need encouragement in this area. I need support in this area. And there's a real strength in togetherness when we're together and we're confessing our weaknesses one to another. We need that spiritual support. You know, there are times in all of our lives when our faith is stronger at one season than it is another. You know that's true. Romans calls it the stronger and the weaker brother. And there are times when maybe you're the stronger brother, sister, and I need you. And then there are times when I'll be the stronger sister and you need me. And we encourage each other and we keep each other on track. So as heart friends, we're just going to have the common goal to grow together in godliness. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian or if you're a seasoned saint. All that matters is that we're walking in the same direction. Just Jesus friends, linking our arms and growing together in godliness as we walk together in the Christian journey. Encouraging each other. Faith, encouraging each other to be faithful. Encouraging each other in Bible study, in prayer, and in sharing our faith. What are the attributes that we're looking for in heart friends? Number one, transparency. And I would just say this is the start button that's necessary if you want to go deeper with a friend. You know what it means? It means to be easily seen through. Now, I can just say to you, this is something I'm very committed to you as your Sunday school teacher. Just being authentic. I'm who I am. I want to be transparent with you. I want my life to be an open book because I want Christ to be glorified. And sometimes it's hard. So we're going to start in our heart friends with simple things like, I want to share my story, how I grew up, my family, just simple things like that. And you know, each of us have a story to tell. You say, what would we talk about? Well, you're going to talk about yourself, and that's your favorite subject. I really want to know your story. See, I teach and I tell my story all the time to you. So if you get me in your heart, I'm not going to talk because you already know my story. But I want to know your story. I really want to know your story. And then next, after you kind of work through your physical story, then I want you to tell your spiritual story. How did you come to know Christ? What were the factors? Now, here's the truth. And I just drew this up on the board. This is like an iceberg. You know, the iceberg, the tip you see, is not all there is. You don't see the real iceberg. It's under the water. And that's kind of how we are. When we're looking at each other, we just kind of see the tip. We don't see the real you that's underneath, the hidden you. And so what we want to do in Heart Friends is really get to know each other. I think about our conversation so much. We really talk surface. Now, we can talk shoes. We can talk clothes. I can talk grandchildren for hours. Although I have to say this, I'm always amazed at how the young women will talk about the most intimate details of the births of their baby. Have you ever been around young women? They'll tell you every detail. It always amazes them. They will go into the details. I want to read a poem out of this book, Heart Friends book, that I liked. It's called The Paintbrush. Let me get my glasses on. Because it's written in little print. Listen carefully. I'm almost done. I keep my paintbrush with me, wherever I may go, in case I need to cover up so the real me doesn't show. I'm so afraid to show you me, afraid of what you'll do. You might laugh or say mean things. I'm afraid I might lose you. I'd like to remove all my paint coats to show you the real true me. But I want you to try and understand. I need you to like what you see. So, if you'll be patient and close your eyes, I'll strip off my coats real slow. Please understand how much it hurts to let the real me show. Now my coats are all stripped off. I feel naked, bare, and cold. If you still love me with all that you see, you are my friend, pure gold. I need to save my paintbrush, though, and hold it in my hand. I want to keep it handy in case somebody doesn't understand. So please protect me, my dear friend. And thanks for loving me true. But please let me keep my paintbrush with me until I love me too. I like that. So the first thing we need is to be transparent. Here's number two, honesty. And I want to read this scripture. Ephesians 4:15 says this, speak the truth in love. Let us grow up in every way unto him who is the head, even Christ. Now, honesty is not telling what we think. Honesty is not giving a piece of our mind. Honesty is speaking the truth according to the word of God. And the greatest thing we can do for one another is when somebody asks, what do you think, or what do you think about this or this issue? Just go to the Word of God and say, well, this is what the Word of God says. Truth from the Word of God changes our lives. And in heart friends, that's what we want to do, share truth with each other. All right, here's the third thing, real quickly, humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says, clothe yourselves in humility. Romans 12:10 says, esteem another person better than yourself. And that is humility. And when I look at another person and I decide to esteem them, to give their needs priority, to care about what's going on in their life, and to be interested and to pray for them, that is humility. Number four, trustworthiness. Have you ever had a friend who broke a trust with you? I haven't. I think of one painful, very painful experience. So one of the requirements of heart friends is going to be that you are going to be asked to commit to being trustworthy. That whatever is shared in that circle doesn't get repeated. And here's a good rule for heart friends. If it's not your story, it's not your story to tell. We're going to try to put 2 to 5 in a group. We're going to try to begin and end your meeting time, like put it in the context of 1.5 hours. We want you to be saying, okay, I'll commit to this for 3 months. Begin your time in prayer. There's not going to be a leader. You just take turns being the facilitator. Nobody's in charge. And I want you to share, first of all, your family backgrounds and then your spiritual testimony. It's not a prayer group. It's not a Bible study group. And it's not a mentoring group. Although you will pray for each other. And you will share the word. And you probably will mentor each other. It's just showing, sharing our lives, walking alongside each other. Gestures of friendship are encouraged. Women always love happies. Bill tells me I'm going to send him to the poorhouse buying happies. But a note of encouragement, a text, anything would be very, very encouraging. Now, this is completely voluntary. I know some of you didn't have time last time. I said, that's fine. Don't feel bad if you say there's just no way. But just fill out this form, mark the best time, leave it on your table, and I'll pick it up. And then what I'm going to do is put our heart friend groups together and let you take it from there. And we'll see what God does. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing this group of women together. Father, thank you for the blessing of friendship. Father, teach us how to love and care for one another, how to share our lives, how to walk together in this faith, how to build that koinonia kind of fellowship. And I thank you for the gifts of the women in this room. Thank you, Father, for the blessings. And we pray this together in Jesus' name. Now, next week, we're going to pick right back up in the book of James. So I'll be looking for you next week.